Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide. Where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out freddiedangelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, freddiedangelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Tommy Halloran.
And I'm Will Wander.
We're from
Songday Afternoon.
And you're listening to
Rock Paper Podcast with
Shane Pressley.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Songday Afternoon. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello, Shane. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you.
You guys want to properly introduce yourselves for those listening?
Sure. I'm Tommy Halloran.
My name is Bill, but I go by Will Wander.
Yeah. We are the hosts or creators of Song Day Afternoon.
Yeah. Co-producers.
There it is.
There you go.
Yeah, man, this is cool because, like, this is, you know, it's the first time we're all really getting to hang out. I've seen Tommy around a couple times. We've talked and things, but this is, and then we just met today, Will, and so this is cool, like, to get the opportunity to get to know a little more about your guys' stories, along with talking about Song Day Afternoon and how this project came to be. I've been following along online. You guys have been doing this for quite a while now. We got, 40-something episodes up there, videos up there.
42 that are up now.
Right? Yeah, 42.
So
we just recorded 43 an hour ago.
Yeah. But it's cool to see that, you know, just that you guys are taking the drive and initiative to do something, a new project, do something fun like this and for the community and getting to showcase the wonderful talents we have around here. So thank you for that.
Our pleasure.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, you guys come from different backgrounds and stuff. How does this project even get started? Where, how do you two meet and start talking about wanting to do this?
Well, we met at KDHX. I had been listening to Will's show on KDHX Elevated Rhyme State, and he was photographing a gig I was doing at the KDHX Cafe. So that's where we met.
I think it was the inaugural Jazz Crawl. The first time I did that, I did the coverage of the photos and basic review of the different venues involved. And I feel like we had met before that, but we hadn't talked before that.
Yeah, we never, like, shook the hands. Right. So that's where we met, and I don't know, I guess you told me you bought the old KDHX building.
Right, at some point I had mentioned that, the building we're in right now, and then I got my new recording device, my little Tascam Pocket Studio is what they call it, and wanted to test it out, and offered to see if Tommy wanted to test it, and he came in and did Two Friends Having Lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two Old Friends Having Lunch.
Right, yeah, song I had just written.
Right, so we recorded that to test out the equipment. It's the same equipment that we use for the sessions now. About a year later, we started this.
Yeah. I had started about 10, 11 years ago or so. I had a project in South City by Tower Grove called Kitchen Music in my apartment, where I had songwriters come to the house and then they would perform one song in my kitchen and we'd put it up on MySpace.
Yeah.
It was the same model basically, but it was on MySpace and we didn't have a set, it was just my kitchen. And I made them with my ex-wife and we made about 23 or 24 of them before it just became too hard to do in the home.
Yeah.
Sort of ran out of steam. But I always liked the idea and I just got a wild hair doing it again, but doing it on a set and then having a partner
mm-hmm.
who was Will. So I called him up and was like, hey man, let's get a beer and talk about this idea I have.
So. Yeah. Well, I think that's cool because, I mean, like, there's a lot of different video series, obviously, you know, like there's a lot of these that we got, even here in town, we got Loft Sessions and different stuff, but they all have their own character to where, and a lot of that comes from, I feel like, location and the people making it and stuff, but it's just really unique to see how people take their own twists and make it their own and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, something like that, like in your kitchen or whatever, you know, the different things, like, that's what make those great and stuff, but.
Yeah, absolutely. They all have their, yeah, different video series have their own
right
identity stamp, you know.
Yeah.
And same with, you know, radio shows. Sure. What's the one? Date Trotter? Is that the one?
Oh, yeah.
And people go do these things, yeah. You know, and it'd be neat to turn this into that sort of.
Definitely. Well, I think here, like, it just being in this building, I mean, obviously there's a ton of history here, so, like, it's, I think that comes through also. Like, it just, there's something special about this location. So.
Almost everybody in the door says that,
too. Yeah.
Everybody that had been here before, for the most part.
Right.
And everybody else was like, oh, so this is where it was. That's awesome. And
yeah.
Everybody else is like, oh, I love that there's still all this energy here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was convinced that I would be haunted by Bob Reuter, but I haven't heard him too much yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, he was here all the time before, so I expected him to stay here. But
right.
He found his own place wherever he is, hopefully happy.
Yeah.
some dingy apartment on the other side filled with thousands of photographs. Yeah.
Little Bob. Well, I think it was cool, too, with what you guys do, like this white background. It's almost like almost feels like a green screen kind of thing. It went the way it looks on the video where it's just the artist, you know, kind of sitting right there. So
it really does take away any affectation. There's nothing between, there's nothing to decorate the song or the artist.
Yeah, get stripped down to bare bones, just focus right on the song. And
And it was really easy. It was an easy way to solve the problem of set, too, because without building an elaborate set and or having a gorgeous location, you know, we do have a wonderful location, but, you know, it's just the inside of a building. Mm-hmm. So we were able to build a very functional set with stuff we got at the dollar store.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Tablecloths and poster board and paper towels are the secret to hiding the microphones. They're all on the shot. You know, even it looks like they're by themselves, but the microphones are all on the screen, just covered up by paper towels and some white pool noodles.
Yeah.
Camouflage.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Stealth, as we like to call it.
I remember, I think it was the Gap had commercials around the holidays probably 20 years ago on a white Infinity set like that. And that was the same time The Matrix, and you know, right around then came out and had that scene where they're, you know, the red pill, the famous scene, they go into that white room. They call it an Infinity white
set
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's cool. So you can check out all things Song Day Afternoon on Facebook and YouTube. You can follow along with what these guys have been up to. They've been a video every Sunday for the most part.
Yeah, every Sunday, and then occasionally on holidays we'll put out additional videos.
Nice,
which is a convenient way because sometimes we'll record more than one in a week, and so you get a little bit of a backlog. It's like, ooh, a holiday. Here's the 4th of July, extra one here, and sometimes it works out pretty well for the holiday too.
Yeah. Yeah, so we shoot once a week and then, you know, post a few days later.
Yeah.
It's a really, we have got a streamlined system for making the videos every week, which was good. We spent a little time actually getting the system down, and then now it just sort of runs itself
almost. Right. I was going to ask, how it got to this point. You know, I'm sure it took a little tweaking around, you know, trying to get the idea right and stuff. Like, for me, like, when I started this show, like, we, you know, it's evolved, obviously, over the years and stuff, but, you know, we sat down, we had an idea, but we eventually ironed out all the details and make it happen, where we finally would get comfortable, like, this is what we want and stuff. And
yeah. Once we were clear on the vision, it wasn't hard to get the everything else to work for that.
I feel like one of our hardest points was to decide on the font.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, started a list of who do we want to bring in, and we probably had 30 people before we started that we wanted to bring in.
And it was actually hard to convince people at first because it wasn't a thing. You know, it was just saying, hey, do you want to come over to my house and make a video? And nobody, you know, most, a lot of people were just reluctant to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a huge list of already great talent that's been a part of the show, including a bunch of friends in my show that we have a lot of crossover, obviously, both highlighting a lot of St. Louis music, including Hands and Feet and Nick Gussman and Langan and Zach Squatch, Devin Cahill, Gavin McNutt, and Ben Sturdivant. So a lot of my friends have been on here, and then those are all some of my favorites for sure, but you guys, I'm sure you got a bunch of other people you want to get on here too as well. And
yeah, one of the reasons I like working with Will is he is a hip-hop DJ and has his foot in that world in ways that I don't. And eventually we want to bring in more different kinds of music so that we're really showing the breadth of music here in St. Louis on any given night, you know, or any given day. It's just always here.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be fun to, you know, what, even a cappella MCs and stuff, you know, just to, or any different, you know, different, whatever it is, but showcase some of the hip-hop side too. And
right, we have a few invitations out of people that really want to figure out how to do the stripped down version of their song before they come in. And I think that's one of the holdups for people is they love the idea and then they pick out a song and it's like, but it's not ready yet.
It definitely proposes challenges, the minimal set we have, and it is a stripped down project by design.
Sure.
So coming in with a full band is out of the question. So people have to rethink what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, we have a mutual friend, Matthias. I've seen him do, you know, with the acoustic guitar and stuff, doing his hip hop, his show with just acoustic guitar and stuff. And that's cool. I love it too. Like, it's just fun to see a different side of what he can do as well. As you know, as long with, you know, I'm sure a lot of other artists can do, could do something similar to their set, but like, you know, to hearing a big arrangement on this hip hop beat and stuff, and hearing it played by an acoustic guitar is
yeah,
different.
So it's cool. Yeah, it's something different.
So
he was one of the first guys we talked to.
Yeah,
and he's getting something together.
Yeah.
Yeah, not to call out anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
All we know is that it's going to be amazing because he's taking the time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic, man. I love that whole Matthias and the Pirates group. They're all great, and he's got a brand new EP out now, so we can check that out. So,
and I guess crossover in that, I just named it the EP of the year last for 2017 on my show. So
nice, yeah.
Sadie the Goat is the Matthias and the Pirates EP, Farfetched Records.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I think that was actually one of the things, also speaking of some hip-hop stuff, was I think it was about a year ago, we were both nominated for an award from Scrub.
Right.
And I think that's when we first started really kind of getting to know who each other were and stuff. And
I had heard of the podcast before and was familiar, but that was kind of like Scrub's almost like you guys are doing some of the same stuff.
Sure.
You guys should be connected.
Yeah, man, it feels good to anybody to say... technology and stuff, but yeah, you know, hearing Scrub say some of the nice things he said, like, it was really cool. So a shout out to Scrub too if you haven't checked out his stuff. Again, I mentioned a bunch of these friends of mine. You guys, and like I said, over 40 something episodes now, but you guys do have a big 50th party you guys are hosting. That'll be coming up on January 28th over at the TikTok Tavern.
That's right.
It's across the street, pretty much.
Yeah.
You can see it out our window.
Right next to Steve's Hot Dogs as well, a good friend of the show, and I frequent there quite often. So,
I've seen on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to lean out the window and be like,
Wow, yeah, I love Steve, and he's got some delicious treats over there. I haven't tried the hamburgers yet, but he's doing the hamburgers now as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't had one of those
yet. I've tried a couple of them.
Yeah.
I go there weekly. It's a tradition.
Sure. Well, the hamburgers, he named after all Eddie Murphy characters, which I thought was funny. Yeah, they're all different Eddie Murphy movies or SNL and different things, so...
Genius.
Yeah, pretty good. But so we what exactly is the party going to include over there, guys? We'll
show all 50 videos on the TV there and invite every musician who has participated to come and all of their friends and the community at large. And in many ways, this is also a social networking project in as much as it is a music project or a video project. And bringing these people together in one space, actually, will be a neat meeting of minds and people who may not know each other yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I think that's cool that TikTok's doing, you know, helping you guys out as well. But, like, they do a lot of, like, listening party stuff over there. And, like, again, it's just a cool thing that they'd be involved in the community like that and having somebody that'll let you do some events like that. And but, yeah, to play all the videos, that'd be fun. And then so everybody can, anybody that is unaware, they can obviously check out all the old videos. But like you're saying, with it being a networking, like, I was talking about it off mic, but this show, like, and doing my... my list of events in town and stuff, like, it's grown from, you know, 3 or 4 shows on a Friday night or something to where I'm putting like 30, 40 shows on a Friday night or something like that. So it's just like this show alone has networked me out farther and farther to meeting all these different people. So just like you guys are trying to do too, with like it just networking and stuff is a great excuse, and you happen to have a good time doing it too, making this show.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew a lot of musicians in St. Louis until Tommy introduced me to three times as many.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was almost exactly the same quote. When I started my show, it was like, well, I have a pretty good idea of what St. Louis music is. Like, at least I thought. And, like, I got rolling and, like, you know, I started, you know, inviting friends on, but then it quickly started getting to the point where everybody else was like, hey, we want to do the show too. And it's like, and that immediately started like just that spider web out of like, we started getting all kinds of people. I was meeting for the first time on the mic and all this different things. And like, but that was just super exciting to constantly to keep discovering St. Louis music and still discovering St. Louis music. I mean, you know, 3.5-4 years into this and I'm still haven't, you know, hit the end or anything. So it's like,
I don't think there is an intro, right, you know, it's, you know.
It was always going to be the new kid that comes up or the, you know, whatever it is, or the people got a new record to talk about or and anything else. So, but it's like, it's just exciting to keep discovering more great talent out of St. Louis and because there's so much going on here.
I've been saying that for years. There's so much here. Every night of the week, world-class music, you know, and it's often totally free.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, like, it's one of those things, like, some people kind of talk about, like, you know, why aren't we not more known on a national level and stuff, like, as some other cities, but then also people kind of argue the same point, too, like, that the ones involved in it kind of like it this way, like, I mean, like, some to an extent, like, obviously we would always like more people out to some of these shows and everything else, but it's like, also, it's kind of nice to be able to go to some of these shows and where they are and having that kind of, like, the little, you know, maybe a little secret to yourself or whatever it is. But it's like you want to not have into some major big scale where you can't even get to the show and stuff like
that. Right. We don't want to have to make keep St. Louis weird bumper stickers because it's going the other way.
Right.
No, I think, you know, in many respects, we are a city that sort of undersells ourselves. Columnist in the Post-Dispatch, Bill McClellan, said, we built a monument to the people who left. And that the arch is for the people who were going west, you know, that's not for us. And musicians are famous when they leave St. Louis and establish their huge career somewhere else. They're famous for coming from here. But we don't have the industry of tourism that some of those other music cities have, and we don't have the industry of music businesses some of those other cities have. We do have a thriving neighborhood sort of melting pot, and we're very fragmented, and in that respect, we don't come together with one cultural unity as a city, but that can work out really well for musicians, because if you play in Creve Coeur and then you play in U City and you play in South City and the East, these are totally different worlds. You can tour the whole city of St. Louis, you know, from neighborhood to neighborhood and treat it like, you know, the whole country almost.
I say similar sentiment, and like in the fact that like how people, if you go even like, you know, if you go to St. Charles or something, people, they don't want to cross the river or whatever, so like it's a whole different world over there compared to, you know, St. Louis County or whatever. So, you know, people are kind of stuck in their own neighborhoods, like you're saying. So,
and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No. You know? But I come from Wentzville. I'm way out there. And people think it's insane that I drive to, you know, downtown every day or whatever it is for a show or whatever I'm doing and stuff. They think it's like, that's so far away. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I've lived out there all my life. So it's all I know is to drive everywhere. So it's like, no, there's nothing out that way. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, people just, like, are so wanting to be, like, right in their own little pocket and stuff, so.
And we are a sports town.
Yeah. You know,
we are a city that loves our sports.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the ones that are still here.
Yeah.
Good call.
Well, I like that.
We're an angry sports town.
I like that we have a term being baseball, you know, like in October, you know, if the Cardinals are still in it, it's a hard time to book a show, and it's a big gamble. But
yeah, I remember talking to a club owner, and he was saying, a famous big club in St. Louis during postseason one year, and he's like, God, I just want them to fucking lose so we can make money again, you know.
Right.
But then, you know, you probably get, you know, at Oyster Bar, you're close enough to the stadium that you get the after-game runoff and things like that. And so Yeah, that 7 o'clock gig, that poor guy got has nobody there, but the 10 o'clock headliners. Yeah,
exactly. Right, his tip of it was out of control.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's hard on the arts, but it brings a ton of money to the city and everything else. So it's like,
hard on the arts. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's true.
Well, for October at least.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the focus.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. And there, you know, subsidies that. I don't know if sports teams get subsidies, but I bet they do.
Right.
I sure wish we got subsidies as musicians. Yeah. That's another podcast.
Yeah. I was really hoping that like the Blues Museum opening would help establish St. Louis as a music place. There was a foreign musician that took her vacation to travel and see the roots of blues and jazz. Mm-hmm. And she went from New Orleans up the Mississippi to Memphis and stopped at Memphis. And I asked her, you know, I was like, well, why did you stop in Memphis? It's like, you know, we got the Blues Museum. Our hockey team's called the Blues. Right. We're the home of, you know, the list. And go, I don't even need to make the list of everybody from jazz and blues that we're the home of. But, you know, it's just.
But we really lost out on that whole blues heritage thing. You know, every other city along the Mississippi clutched on Davenport, Iowa, you know, has more of a music. You know, more connection to music than St. Louis does.
I had a conversation one day with my buddy. He goes, hey, I want to, it was like a Friday night. He goes, hey, is there any good blues music in this in town? And I'm like, he's like, we named a whole hockey team after St. Louis Blues. You know, I was like, it's just because it's a huge laundry list of, you know, great talents come through the city. But yeah, I mean, it's like any night you go down to Broadway or something, you can see all kinds of great blues music going on. So, anyway, but there's a lot of, you know, people just are unaware. You know, it's just they don't think of St. Louis as a blues town anymore. But there's a lot going on here, man. There's so much going on. So
that's true.
But yeah, hopefully the museum. I think hopefully that'll, you know, turn. I mean, there is a nice little local section there in the. So it's nice to see that having.
We've been talking with Jeremy Siegelmoss, the president of the St. Louis Blues Society, about doing a sort of a spin-off series of Song Day Afternoon just on St. Louis Blues.
Yeah,
because there are musicians who won't be with us by the end of this year and then the next year and then 10 years who are dying with knowledge in their head and music in their bodies that we won't hear again, you know. It'd be neat to catalog that or at least collect a little of it.
Yeah, I mean, I similar thing again with my show. I'm trying to document as much of that, catalog all those conversations, sharing these stories, and preserve it on audio, just like you guys are. You know, we can preserve these songs and they'll live on forever and stuff. So, but yeah, man.
Until the internet dies.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. How do you guys do that? Starts a lot of what you said. Tommy sent a bunch of people in here and stuff. But you guys go through your friends and stuff, or is there like a certain process of name in the hat? And
I'm somewhat of a procrastinator, so a number of times it has been like, hey man, what are you doing today? So it has been a number of friends, but it's also been people who have been referred to us by other performers and people we just admire and wanted to get in here and, you know, haven't met yet. We had Jeff Seitz in here, the violin maker. I'd never met him. I knew who he was, you know, held him in great esteem as a person. I thought, well, he'd be a perfect candidate for this. And it's sort of a pretext for meeting musicians who, you know, and hanging out with him when we wouldn't ordinarily
be. Sure. Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's a little difficult recording on Mondays because musicians often have day jobs. You know, there's not too many people that are full-time able to support themselves with music. And so there's definitely some people that we want to get in here, some friends that we want to get in here that we haven't been able to get in here because of the Monday thing in general. But
that's why we're here partially on New Year's Day, because it's a holiday.
Right.
And the performer we had earlier couldn't come on any other Monday.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know all about that. And it's just tricky trying to, you know, juggle two jobs and trying to do this show and everything else. It's just like, and it just, we all have so much going on. It's just hard to get those schedules to align sometimes, you know. So
if I could go on a slight tangent, I'm a little disappointed. One of my friends more or less was part of the inspiration for me getting this building that we're in, the St. Louis Open Media Integration Center. It was, I sat with my friend who's a musician, at a bar, and he said, man, I have a whole new album's worth of stuff, but studios are so expensive. It's like, well, you know people that tape shows. You know tapers. You know things like that. Why don't you get somebody out to your shows? And then next thing you know, I ran into a guy who had an audio interface, and then I started recording that friend's shows, and then I found out that this building was for sale, and it's like, well, that's going to be the perfect spot. And so that one person that's kind of the inspiration for everything, that started everything on my side going, has not been able to come in yet.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'll throw the name out there. His name's Perry Woods. He plays a lot out in St. Charles and stuff like that. Has his original stuff and does covers too. But, you know, he's kind of the inspiration for a lot of the recording stuff I've done. And I'm disappointed he's not going to make the first 50.
Yeah.
But
the next 50.
Yep, the next 50, and there's other Monday holidays, and that's the good thing about Mondays is that, you know, the government likes to have Monday holidays. It's like the favorite day for a holiday. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, again, I mentioned a bunch of my favorites so far. Do you guys have any particulars that come to mind when you think about what Song Day Afternoon is? Like, that you really want people to check out if they haven't checked out the show yet?
I mean, I...
Not to like, pick...
Right.
Not to put you on the spot, but...
I'm trying to think of the ones that necessarily... Like, the ones that I didn't know ahead of time that came in and impressed me are usually... I mean, I guess they all did, but in different ways. Like, one of the moments I can remember is when Beth Tuttle starts to sing and her voice is just so powerful. I was not expecting that. I hadn't really heard much of that, you know, around town. And that was a beautiful moment, and I wasn't really familiar with her before then.
Yeah.
And
that was one of my favorites too, and also because of her voice, but also because I was familiar with her, but I hadn't seen her in so long. And I admired her, and I thought, man, I'd like to get her in for this because she's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Right. And then it was nice, you know, one of the first people I thought of was Connor Lowe, you know, the Wunderkind of St. Louis. And he came in and blew me away. And I'm trying to remember, who was the guy that had, he had his guitar tuned to the 432 hertz?
Oh, yeah. Matthew Chalka?
Yeah, it could be. And he came in and he did kind of like, it was just the instrumental and like tempo changes. And it kind of was like a train of thought coming through his guitar. And I'm a fan of the 432 tuning. You know, to get the natural sounds, and that was a good session as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connor Lowe, I hadn't ever heard him before.
And oh, yeah?
I was dumbfounded.
Yeah, he's a super talented young man. He's been at it for a long time already, and he's only 17 or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe he's 18 now.
And then in a cool sort of way, the world's come together. Chris Griffith was another performer from St. Charles who we had in, who was one of Connor's early guitar teachers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Things you don't...
Sure.
Wouldn't have known if we didn't have them both in here to do this.
Very cool.
And I like, you know, like some of the people, like our friends and such, I've seen them grow. Like, I've always enjoyed Ellen Cook or Ellen Hilton Cook or Ellen the Felon or, you know, I guess Ellen Hilton Cook is the official name now. You know, I've always enjoyed her. I worked on a session that she did here at KDHX when they were in the building here. And it was a song I liked, but, you know, you could hear musically it wasn't that advanced. And then she came in and did this just heartbreaking song. And it's amazing to see her grow as a musician, too. You know, it's nice to see that. And perhaps as we go around the second time through some of these artists, we'll see that even in the two videos on this project.
Yeah.
Yep. Is a lot of that like one take, or do you guys do multiples, or how's it behind the scenes?
Surprising number of them are one takes.
Yeah.
People come in and just get it done.
We like to, we often offer to do multiple takes, and a couple times it saved us with technical difficulties. You know, all of a sudden, like, this video cut out and we didn't realize it, but don't worry, we've got these two other takes, we'll just do that one. And sometimes, you know, we've had a couple artists I like to come in and they'll say things like, I didn't realize how much I liked the first take until I did the second take, and this is, first one was pretty good.
Yeah. All in all, it's a pretty short process.
Right.
We tend to have everything pretty much ready to go when they get here. It's just, since it's just one song, they're often out the door in 20 minutes.
Sure.
Which is
depending on the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sinuso Pro had a lot more setup. Hands and Feet had a lot more setup. All the loopers.
Right.
I want to get more loopers in here. That's one of the things I would love to do as well, because that's always a fun process. When you're talking about like a one-person performance, the looper is, I don't want to say the highest level, but I mean, it definitely adds the most dimension to a single-person performance.
Right.
Yeah.
So going into, 2018 and the 50 videos and more, you guys having any thoughts of like what the next step is for Song Day, or do you guys want to,
I think we're not perhaps that ambitious. Yeah. I think the ambition is just to keep making and putting out a video a week, at least.
Right, yeah, not too much really to do. We have, maybe a couple technological things. Like we use a point and shoot camera from 8 years ago for the video. And I just got a new mixer that we can now do more than two lines at one time, so we can expand that some, although the space is limited. So you could, we could do a trio now, but we definitely aren't loading a drum set and a full band in here anytime for this project, at least.
Yeah. I mean, like behind the scenes stuff, I'd like to learn how to market better YouTube videos and.
Sure.
Yeah, just do stuff like that. But there's not a lot we put into it on the. After we make the videos, we don't really market them. We just put them up and then let the community of Song Day viewers sort of.
Tommy does this thing where though he tags like the last 30 artists that have performed. He tags everybody when we put up a new video, and so they all see it and they share it and they spread it. And then we actually had one or two people that had gotten off the bottom of the list. They were no longer being tagged because they were in the earlier ones. They said, "Why aren't I being tagged anymore?" And all of these. So that's actually pretty positive marketing right there. Keeping everybody involved, whether or not they did a song, 4 months ago or today or next week or.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I mean, that you all are. Even though they might not all know each other, like it's a great way to be introduced to people. Again, continuing that networking, but also to just be supportive of this project and our community. Like just to be happy to share something great coming out of our city and stuff. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. Keeping those videos going, circulating around and stuff. So, and again, if you haven't check them all out, they're all on the Facebook page, and you can subscribe to the YouTube channel and. Get you up to date. We do have a 42 or so of them out there now, but we will have the big 50th party coming up at TikTok on the January 28th, so you can come out and see all 50 videos that night if you haven't if you missed anything. So
there will be a little bit of there'll be a few that we release that night, kind of the last few are going to come up that night. We had to catch up some after a couple holidays off.
You guys, is there a 50th already booked, I guess, and stuff?
Yeah, I have it all in my calendar at home. I couldn't tell you offhand who the 50th is. And
I try to make, not that it might not always be, some huge guest, but I always try to get excited about every mile marker, every 100 or whatever, and it's like... It is exciting. I mean, even if maybe not everybody's always excited about it, but I get excited just every time I hit those milestones. It's nice to feel like I have a sense of accomplishment. It's like, hey, I just did 50, I did another 100, whatever it is, and it's like, it's just nice to have those little check marks along the way and stuff. And
it will feel good to be able to say this year we made 50 music videos. Right. I mean, that's pretty dope.
Well, not this calendar year, but That's just, those Romans, they do what they want.
Isn't that true?
So this is
suffer what they must.
When did Song Day get started? That was a.
I think the first release was at the beginning of June.
Okay.
Ali Vogler was the
first
one. Whatever date that says, that's when it started.
Right. Curious trivia fact, the Ali's video is the only one that has a visible microphone in it.
Okay.
Before, except for the loopers who had their
mounted microphone. That's true. That was before we went full invisible on the mics.
There you go. Yeah, she, her and the River Kittens just sang at the blues game. That was pretty cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, I saw that, the national anthem.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's not coincidental that she was the first one. I had been a huge fan of her music forever, and had seen. I remember seeing her at open mics at Atomic Cowboy years ago, the first time, just being like, this person is really good. Very different than everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. And then, and the River Kittens, if you haven't heard, like, that EP they put out, it's wonderful. Really great stuff, So I guess hopefully maybe we'll do another big party for a year celebration or something like that.
Probably every 50, you know.
Yeah.
I guess, unfortunately, TikTok, if we had all 50 show up, TikTok is not big enough.
Right.
Guessing that 50 artists will not show up for the party, so. But if we do it, the 100 or whatever, or 150, or we hit 1 year, or whichever, where we ever draw the line, I'm guessing as awesome as TikTok is, we might have to go a little bit bigger sometime.
Yeah.
Peabody.
Yeah, there it is.
It's the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, very cool. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this today, getting to know a little more about Song Day Afternoon.
Thank you, Shane.
And again, both these guys are always hustling around the music community. You can catch Will on KDHX. And
Saturday nights, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., plus some concert reviews and other such on the website.
Yeah. And you can catch Tommy all around town playing all the time, man. He's a hustler.
He is that guy who doesn't have the day job. He gets to do music all the time. That's why Mondays work.
Right. It's a perfect day for me.
But, thank you, guys. I will see you soon.
Okay.
Well, thanks. I'm set to go when I reap what I've sown.
things began to take control. Now I'm here alive and well, neighbors for the toe. I'll call me now.
Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff along the throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.